Today we're going to continue on our journey through Acts. And we're coming from Acts chapter 6 today. You know, we've talked about the beginning of the church. We talked about how they came together and shared with one another. And we've talked about the evil deeds of Ananias and Sapphira. And we've looked at how the apostles were beaten by the officials and told not to continue to preach this word of Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. But you know what? As we go on, the church started to grow. And as the church grew, problems arose. You know, in any organization, when you have growth, you have to make changes. You have to make modifications to handle that growth. And that's what happened in Acts chapter 6. And we will explore this today as we look at how God led the apostles to handle the situation that we find in Acts chapter 6. So be in prayer with us as we begin this message. And the topic of the message is the administration of the church. The administration of the church. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I pray that you be with me, Lord, during this message, Father, that you allow me to share this with a high degree of accuracy and clarity, Father. I pray that it is your word through my voice. So be with me. Guide me and direct me. Amen. Amen. Church administration. Now, let us read this passage. Allow me to read this passage so we can have a comprehension of what's going on. Sixth chapter of Acts, verse 1. Now, in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Again, the topic, the administration in the church. So we see as the church grew, now we have to be reminded that they were mainly those 12 apostles were the ones who were leading the effort of the church, teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they were the ones that people looked upon. They were the ones that people looked to. There were others among them who were teaching also. There were others caring for folks, but there seemed to be a problem that was occurring. It seemed like Christians from two different cultures were clashing within the church. And verse 1, it says, "Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists." Now, if you're reading from the King James translations, you might see that word Grecian. Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now let's clear up the first few terminology. Now, the Hebrews, we know, were the original Hebrews, the Jews, God's chosen people, the ones who lived in Israel. But see, others had become Jews also through faith in the Jewish faith, mainly those who were in the Greek region. another Roman province at that time. So when you see the word Hellenist or you see the word Grecian, that is Greek speaking Jews, or Jews who might be of Greek origin. So that's who they're talking about. So they are here, in the church, and somehow a complaint happened against the Hebrew Jews by the Greek-speaking Jews because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. This is the situation here that's going on. There was a problem that occurred. Now, whenever you have a problem, you have to come up with a solution of how to handle that problem. So as the church was growing, tensions also occurred. Tensions also came about. There was a division among the Jews. Now, mind you, even though it says Hebrews and Hellenists, mind you that these are all folks who have accepted Christ now. So, you know, what they were and what they are Christians, but they were of the Jewish faith. They were of the Greek-speaking Jewish faith. So this has happened. And it seems like that their widows were neglected in the daily administration, distribution or administration. Now, what was happening is, now, mind you, in this time in the world, there was no social security system. There was no Medicaid, Medicare. There were no government-sponsored programs, or very little government-sponsored programs to take care of people. People took care of their own. You see this throughout this theme throughout the Old Testament, where they took care of one another. As a matter of fact, when the farmers are told to leave a portion of their land, you know, not harvest what's on a portion of their land so others can come by and glean that. You know, we read this about Ruth and Naomi. We read this, we see this in the Old Testament, where people are taken care of by others who have the means to do that. And as we've looked through this book of Acts, we have seen that individuals, especially in Acts chapter 2, around the 40th verse, we see that they all came together and shared things that were in common. So they took care of one another. Now the problem is, some folks thought that the Greek-speaking Christians were being neglected somehow in the daily distribution. Daily distribution, probably the daily distribution of resources that people needed to survive. So something was happening here. Don't know how it started, but something was happening. And that's the important thing to know. Sometimes we don't need to know how stuff starts. We just need to know how to handle it. We just need to deal with it. You know, we just need to deal when a problem occurs. We just need to deal with it. So then we see in the second chapter of Acts chapter 6, then the 12, these are the 12 apostles, the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said that it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So they just elaborated on the situation like, you know, hey, you know, we're the 12 apostles. We're doing all that we can, but it seems like that some people are being neglected. It seems like some people feel like they're being left out. Now, I know even in today in the church, sometimes we feel left out. We feel like we've been neglected. We feel that we're not being taken care of. We feel that our cries are not being heard. We feel like we are neglected. But let's look at what the apostles came together with the disciples. And they said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, in this serving tables, there are several connotations that this refers to. Serving tables, it could be serving food. It could be serving food for the widows and others who are in need, the orphans who are in need, the poor who are in need. This could be the tables to collect offering, to collect tithes. It could refer to a place where funds and supplies were administered to the widows. So we do know that a situation was occurring that needed to be resolved. We do know that we had a segment of the Christian faith that seemed that they were being neglected. Now, as we look at this, I have to think about Moses. You know, Moses in the Old Testament, back in Exodus chapter 18, Moses had a situation where he was trying to do everything. You know, he was like judging people. People brought their cases to him early in the morning when the sun came up until the sun went down. And his father-in-law came to visit, and his father-in-law just pretty much says, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to wear the people out. You cannot handle judging everything by yourself. That was the situation back then. This is the situation right now. The apostles are in a position where they know they need to distribute the labor among them so that all the needs of the people are taken care of. So we have the problem, we have the situation. And when you have a situation, you got to work towards a solution. What's the solution? I'm so glad inquiry minds want to know. Let's look on to verse 3 and where the solution starts. It says in verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. So what they're saying is, I need you to look out among yourself and seek individuals who have the qualifications to take care of this business of making sure that the widows, the orphans, and others in need are taken care of on a daily basis. But as they presented this solution, they also presented some qualifications for those who would be in this position. Now, in the Baptist faith and others, we see this as the beginning of the origination of deacons. But you know, when you look at this, this could also apply to deacons, trustees, and other workers in the church. So the qualifications, what are the qualifications? Number one, they asked them to look for individuals who were of good reputation and honest report. So if you want somebody in leadership in the church, you don't want somebody who has a bad reputation. You know, you're just asking for trouble, because if they had a bad reputation coming in, guess what? Unless the Lord changes them, they're going to have a bad reputation in the church. So seek out people of good reputation, people of honest report, people who are known for their honesty, people who are known for not putting self first, people who love to help people, who count it as a gift to help others. So select the people of good reputation, but that's not all. There are a lot of folks who have a good reputation. There are a lot of folks who appear honest, who act honestly. There are a lot of folks who have benevolence in their heart, but guess what? They aren't saved. They aren't saved. So in the church, we need to make sure that when we appoint people to positions, that number one, that they have good reputations, but secondly, that they are full of the Holy Spirit. They have confessed Jesus Christ. They have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that was the second qualification, full of the Holy Spirit. Never neglect the Holy Spirit. You know, they might look like they can do the job, but if they ain't saved, you're better off without them. They might have the most glorious voice you've ever heard, but if they aren't saved, you're going to find disruptions in the atmosphere. Amen? They can be the most benevolent person in the world, and we thank you for that. But if you aren't saved, we need to work on that. Amen? Full of the Holy Spirit, but not only full of the Holy Spirit, but wise people. You want people who are wise, people who are wise, who are not prone to fly off the handle, who can speak, you know, with clarity to people, who can share wisdom, sort of like Jethro, Moses' father, you know, elderly man who had been through life, who had seen a lot, who was able to look at the situation that Moses was under and was able to bring clarity to Moses about that situation. So you need people with wisdom. Wisdom. You know, with that wisdom, you need to get understanding. Let me just add that in. Now, and it says again, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So they were deliberating among themselves how to handle this. And this was the administrative way to handle it, was to divide himself up into divisions and have others take care of the tables that the minister and the people and providing resources to people who were in need. Now, it's interesting when you look at this seven, you know, we know in the Christian tradition that's the number of completion, but also it kind of refers to the Jewish tradition of how they selected their council to hear public affairs, to handle public affairs. It usually was seven respected individuals. So, you know, this same thing carries over into whatever profession we are in today. When people are promoted, what is sought is people who have honesty, people who have clarity, people who have wisdom, people who can do the job, who are capable of doing the job, you know. And in the church, we need to be mindful that we need to have that type of organization so that we can make sure that everybody's needs are taken care of. Now, going back to Moses and Jethro in Exodus chapter 18, I just want to read something from a few verses, starting at the 21st verse of Exodus chapter 18. This is the guidance that Jethro gave Moses. He said, "Moreover, you should select from all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all times. Then it will be that every great matter they shall bring to you, but every small matter they themselves can judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you." Now, in this illustration back in Exodus, when Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, is talking to him, he has observed that Moses is working way too hard, that Moses is doing way too much, that Moses is trying to do everything and judging the people. But he has a solution, and he provides that solution to Moses and says you need to pick able men. And he goes on to give them the same type of qualifications: able people who fear God, who men of truth, hate covetousness, and place them in an organized way so they can hear cases. Now, when you look at this, what he's doing, he's setting up administrative principles, so that if it is a small matter, it goes to somebody else, but only the great matters that need to be judged come to Moses. Now, you look at our judicial system and the court system today. Don't we have different levels of court systems? And you start out where you start out, and if you need to appeal, you go to a higher level until you get to the Supreme Court, and they only select few cases a year to hear. It's the same principle that's used today. It's the same principle that was used then. It's the same principle that we use in the church today, to making sure that we have the proper people in the proper place to take care of the administrative duties of the church and assist the apostles. Now, it's interesting. The interesting fact is that these apostles, they recognize that their priority — we're back in Acts chapter 6 now — they recognize that their priority was not to do these daily duties. Their priority was to, and we find this in the fourth verse, and let me go ahead and read it, what they say in Acts chapter 6, 4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Their priority was to minister the word of God and pray. So we see that they had their priority, and in order to free up themselves to pay attention to what they were called to do, they had to organize and set up an administrative process in the church to take care of all the people. And they came up with this way, which has worked well, not just on that day, but works well even unto today. So we see in the early church, as they grew, they changed and modified their processes and administrative practices to handle everything that needs to be done. And that's the same thing we need to do today, my brothers and sisters. We need to continually seek opportunities that if we're lacking in some area, if we're not taking care of business in some areas, then we need to check that out and see how we can best handle that. How can we best make that work within our congregation? How can your congregation make it work in your congregation? But the key thing is the apostles had to find a solution that would allow them to focus on what they were called to do, but yet take care of the needs of the people on a daily basis. Just like Moses and Jethro in Exodus chapter 18, Moses was advised to teach others and divide the labor. And the apostle wanted to do the same things in the church of God the same way. We move down to the fifth verse of Acts chapter 6. And it says, this saying pleased the whole multitude. So when the apostles met with the disciples, all the people, and told them the situation and gave them the solution, they were pleased. They were pleased with this. Why were they pleased? I think it was because they knew it would help them take care of the people easier and better. And then they chose individuals. They chose seven individuals, and it lists them in Acts chapter 6, 5. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. And it goes on. Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timons, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. And it's interesting, if you look at these seven names, six of them are Greek names. So they were selecting individuals who could directly affect the problem of that time. The problem was, how do we take care of all the people who are in need? How do we take care to make sure that no culture or no segment of the church is left out, neglected, forgotten about? We need to make sure that we take care of business. And once they selected them in verse 6, they set them before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. If you've ever been to an ordination, you will see that part of the process is the laying on of hands, which is symbolic for conferring the rights and privileges and the spirit for the task at hand. So we see the solution. They selected some individuals to help out. They had the qualifications for the individuals. They communicated with the people the plan, and the people were happy. And then the selection process happened according to the qualifications required. And let's look at the result in verse 7. I would not leave you with a situation and a solution without leaving you with the result. Let's look at verse 7. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. There's three things I see here I want to share with you in closing. First of all, as a result of them taking care of business and making sure they provided for all within the faith, the word spread. The apostles were able to focus on their job. The word spread. And when the word spreads, guess what happens to the church? The church grew. The church grew greatly. And it says at that last part, and many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So the priests and the pastors of today, they were obedient to the faith because they could focus on ministry. They did not have to spend a lot of time focusing on other things that others could handle. They could focus on prayer. They could focus on study. They could focus on preparation of messages. They could focus. They were obedient to the faith because they had time to focus. My brothers and sisters, it's the same today. As our church changes, we need to make sure that we have the organizational changes put in place to take care of the people. You know, when we first started this journey called the stay-at-home virtual service, one of the first things we did last year was appoint people to check in on people just to see how you're doing, you know. and Minister Tatum and Sister Woods, thank you very much for your service. Thank you very much, because you were able to connect with people on a level that I could not connect to with them on. And it allowed me to be able to focus on other things. It allowed me to focus on not only the word, but focus on the strategic future of Beacon Light and be in prayer about that as we go on. So I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the saints who have stepped in. I thank you for your understanding when I could not get to you. I thank you for everything you have done for Beacon Light. I thank you for the saints that have checked in on people that I don't even know about. You do it automatically. You just check on people. You know why we do that? Because we are a biblical community. We are a community of faith. We take care of our people, and I thank you for that. And in doing all that, I don't even know if you were practicing good church administration. But there you have it. Acts chapter 6. As the church grew, changes needed to happen to take care of the people and make sure the word remained pure and spread throughout the world. My question today is, how can we get better? How can we seek opportunities to take care of people in a better way? How can we seek opportunities to make sure that we have people of faith, people full of the Holy Spirit in positions that they need to be in? How can we make sure that people who have been called by God to step up understand that calling? How can we be sure? Those are questions for each and every one of us. Those are questions that I ponder with many times a month. So I thank you, Beacon Light. I thank you. You know, my prayer is that our time doing virtual services is less than it has been in the past. I will share with you that we're looking at going back in to the building on a limited basis next month. And more information will come out about that next week. But I thank you for that. And as I was studying Acts, as I was looking over Acts, you know, the Lord just led me to this message for today to share with the church, to help us understand what our opportunities are, what our solutions are for the situations that arise in the church. They handled it well, and we can too. So God bless you. And I pray that this message has informed and both inspired. God bless you. God bless you, the administration in the church.